It is week 12 of the 2023 college football season. This is the We Hate Your Team podcast, a proud member of the VSN Collegiate Network. I'm Kelly Ford, and with me, as always, is my friend and co-host, Zach King. Kinger, we're running out of weeks, running out of chance for me to say this. How are we doing this week?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Kelly, but you took the words from my mouth. We are running out of weeks here, and this is the first time this season that I guess you'd say the end is near. We've got two Saturdays left of the regular season of the 2023 college football year, and it's sad, man. It's sad that we're already here, sitting here week 12, only a few more times that we get to come on here and break down games for the regular season this year, and we've got a great slate this weekend, some big ones. Very instrumental games here is the second college football playoff rankings were just released here shortly not even a few hours ago. So we're doing good, man. It's full on end of the season. Don't really know what to say at this point other than we got to enjoy it.
We will enjoy it, King. Yes, we did just have the updated release as we record this on Tuesday night. Georgia, your new number one team by the CFP selection committee in the top 25. So I have things to say about that. We're going to talk about Georgia later on in this episode, so we will get there. But King, I want to make sure we have as much time as possible to talk with our guests, so I won't delay it anymore. Let's bring him on in here. Someone that I've been connected with on X now for quite some time, back when it was Twitter, actually. Is when we got connected. We've been on a college football panel together before. This is a really, really sharp guy and just a really good person too. And we love having these types of people on. I'm very excited to introduce our guest this week. He is the head of football analysis at StatsBomb. He was formerly the director of football analytics for University of Virginia. I am talking about Matt Edwards. You might know him as the Coach Edwards on X. Matt, how are we doing today?
Doing great. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show and looking forward to it.
Absolutely, Matt. Like I said, this was a no-brainer for me. I was looking through, you know, who do we want to have on? We're coming up on the end of the year. It's a very important time of the college football season. Everything's coming to a head. And I said, how have I not asked Matt to be on the show yet? So let's absolutely make it happen. We appreciate you being here. Matt, I know about your background. Kinger has a little bit about your background from before we started the show here, but for all of our listeners who may not know you, go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, how did you get started in this space? What do you do currently over at StatsBomb? What was it like working at Virginia? Just take it away, man. The floor is yours.
Awesome. Well, I had the same thought. I was just waiting, just sitting there on Twitter X every day, hoping to get a message from you.
I'm sure you were.
No, I'm playing. Yeah, well, you know, I feel like everybody that's in the college football space usually has some sort of unique experience, unique story. For me, you know, I grew up loving football, but especially college football. My grandpa coached college football for 40 years, was a head coach for 30 years. And so grew up every Saturday going to college football games, being super invested, and just I loved the sport so much. So, you know, football has always sort of been my thing. Academically, numbers was my thing. So I majored in math. I was always good at math, even as like a second grader. And so that, you know, kind of was my academic background. But I got into football because, you know, like I mentioned, my grandpa, but I got the chance to play college football. And so I played college football, and about 2 years in, I made the decision that I wanted to do whatever it took to be in the world of college football. You know, I sort of thought about being a doctor maybe, but then after about a year of being on the team, I was like, that is in the rearview mirror and bring on the world of football. So because of my grandpa's background, I thought that coaching was going to be my path. So started down that path. Coach was a graduate assistant at the school that I played at, and then ended up with my first job as a Division III coach. Coached a whole bunch of things, offensive line, wide receivers. I was a recruiting coordinator, as the interim head coach for a little bit. And it was just one of those things where you're at a school like that, you got to kind of do it all and learn it all. So did that for a couple of years, and then was able to actually join the University of Virginia staff, like you mentioned, as a director of football analytics. You know, luckily for me, Coach Mendenhall was the coach that I played for in college and was able to reconnect with him. And, you know, kind of when I joined the staff, said, hey, I know numbers. I'm good with math. you know, we have these analyst positions that all these schools have, but nobody's really doing anything with actual analytics. And, you know, will you give me a shot to do something along those lines? And luckily for me, he gave me a chance and was able to kind of move into there and had a great 5 years at UVA. We loved it. And then when he resigned, started kind of looking around, seeing what my future was going to hold. Didn't know exactly what was going to happen at UVA. So started exploring the job market, had a couple of opportunities in the NFL and in college, and was kind of, as I was looking around, got connected with the people at StatsBomb and started looking more into what they were doing. And it's a really great tool and great product. And I thought that it's something that I believe that analytics can help any college team anywhere. And so have kind of moved into the, you know, outside party space, and really excited about the tools that we're developing and building. It's an awesome product, and the teams that see it love it. And yeah, so it's been great. A little bit strange to be on the outside again for 2 years now, but I'm getting used to it for sure.
That's awesome. No, and Matt, I even learned some stuff there as you were going. Geez, I thought I knew the whole story. I did not, as it turns out. I got to ask the most important question first. So what was your record as interim head coach?
It was only an off-season position. So okay. It was zero. I was undefeated, though.
There you go. There you go. That's awesome. Kinger, I don't think we've ever had, and no offense to our previous guests, if I'm mistaken here, I don't believe any of our previous guests were ever a head coach, interim or otherwise, but I'm going to go with undefeated head coach.
Yeah, undefeated. Boost that resume for sure.
That is awesome, Matt. Absolutely love it. Hey, so I got one more question, a serious one here, and then I'll turn it over to King. So what do you miss most about being involved kind of on a team side in college athletics, on a college football side with Virginia? What is the thing you miss most now that you're over at StatsBomb? I mean, you're doing a ton of cool things, but what's the one thing that you miss most about your time being with a team and all that? Because, dude, when I first got connected with you and I was like, man, this guy's the director of football analytics for a college football team. Like, I about shot out of my chair. I was like, that is the coolest thing ever. So I know things change and we make life decisions and the situations change, and you're at a great spot now. What's the one thing you miss the most?
The free gear. It's got to be the free gear.
That's awesome.
No, I think that the biggest thing for me when I was working for a team was always the ability to interact and impact young people. And so even when I was the director of football analytics, I wasn't coaching on the field and having the interaction the same way that I had in previous stops. But while I was at UVA, I was able to set up some analytics internships and help mentor some students that were there working on some capstone projects. And, you know, a couple of the students that I worked with are now working in the NFL. Some are working for the Lions, the Dolphins, the Chargers. And so to be able to help them see what a career in analytics could look like and give them a chance to get some experience was awesome. And so that is kind of the biggest thing that I miss. You know, obviously the game day atmospheres are great, you know, being able to play at Clemson and places like that. It's that kind of stuff is awesome as well. So, you know, there are a couple of things that I miss, but it's a hard lifestyle. It's a lot of hours, and you know, bunch of coaches have been fired recently, and that's just kind of the norm. So always, you know, a little unclear on job security, and so there are some definite negatives as well. So it's a give and take, but it's an awesome thing that was happening there for sure.
Everything in life is a give and take, but that's very cool, Matt. Yes, as someone who works in college athletics as an administrator, completely understand what you're talking about, the impact you can have on young people and the impact that you had on young professionals as they go out and begin their careers in the analytics space of college football, NFL, whatever it is. That's just very, very cool. Kinger, I'll let you hop in.
Yeah, I just thought, Matt, it's very cool to hear your background and story. I definitely can connect with what you were saying about kind of the family aspect of it, having your grandfather coach college football. My grandfather was a former college basketball coach and athletic director, so that's kind of where my initial love for college sports came as well. But you are breaking barriers on the We Hate Your Team podcast tonight. First coach, as Kelly said, I think you are the second college athlete we've had on the show, but You also are in a position that we've had not had on the show before in being a recruiting coordinator. And I wanted to ask you about that because that's something that's always interested me, the recruiting process for college sports, being the title of the recruiting coordinator. Were you involved in the actual day-to-day of recruiting these athletes? And then give us your pitch. What was it like? What was always the selling points of trying to get kids to come to your school?
Yeah, it's a different ball game. You know, one, it was a Division III school, you know, non-scholarship. And so it's every place you are is different, right? The different things that you're going to try and sell, the different things that are important at that school and the different, I guess, pool of talent that you're trying to target and identify. And so, for us, we would, you know, the school that I was at had a religious tie. And so we would tend to, you know, pitch that to, you know, not just people of that religion, but of all religions of, you know, this is a religious school and a lot of, you know, you'll get a chance to really grow and develop spiritually and things like that. But, you know, it's brutal trying to talk to and chase down, you know, 15 and 16 year old kids and get them on the phone and really try and pitch your school and talk to them about why they should come to you and not to any of the other numerous options that a lot of people have. So it can be a grind and it can beat you down when you're, you know, you feel like you're making a lot of headway and you build relationships there. And then if they end up choosing a different school, sometimes that hurts. It's like a budding relationship and then it kind of fizzles. And so it's a very unique deal. And yeah, but it was fun. You know, being able to try and build a program and have that kind of programmatic approach to what we were trying to do there.
Yeah, very cool. And with all the recruiting rules and different things that you have to abide by, it's such a complex process these days and the challenge of it. Just very interesting and always love to hear, you know, the details associated with that. So last question for me, it's just going to be very basic. We also think you are the first person on that we've had on that is associated with University of Virginia at all. So I hear Charlottesville is a very beautiful campus, great area to work. What was your favorite thing about working for the University of Virginia in being in that position that you were as the director of football analytics?
Yeah, Charlottesville is a beautiful town. They have had a few tragic things. You know, I think yesterday was the 1 year anniversary of the three players that passed and were shot and killed. And so, you know, just want to, you know, mention that and how much we miss them and love their families and everything. But it really is such a beautiful campus. It's a beautiful area. You know, they're probably going to be mad that I said campus instead of grounds. They have a few weird things about it, but, you know, like I said, having my grandpa in college football, there's just something about a college town that I love. The atmosphere, everybody's unified behind a team. And, you know, win, lose, or draw, you know that they'll be there the next week, ready to go, ready to support and just cheer for you. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a very, very beautiful area. And, you know, we just developed some really great lifelong friendships while we were there.
I love it. And Matt, to try to go on a positive note with Charlottesville, I have a signed Kyle Guy Virginia jersey. So Kyle is from Indianapolis, Indiana. We actually went to the same middle school. I came first. So I like to say Kyle went to my middle school, actually. But yes, big fan of that 2019 Virginia men's basketball team. Of course, 2018, they're the first team to ever lose as a one seed to a 16. And then they turn around the next year and win a national championship. King shaking his head.
I'm over here just insulted that Kelly is talking about being a big fan of the 2019 Virginia men's basketball championship team. But over here.
Like, how can you say that? That, right?
I am in tears because I was the worst sporting experience I've ever had to be a part of in my entire life was that rebound and tip in that ended Purdue's run in the tournament. So that just is bringing back literally PTSD for me and the worst feeling I felt at a sporting event my whole life.
But King, here you go though. It is, I agree, from a Purdue standpoint, heartbreaking. There's a cool ACC documentary about it called Unbelievable that kind of documents the story really well. Also, King, what Virginia did in 1819, that's exactly what Purdue needs to be doing in 2023 and 2024, right? The blueprint's there. You bring them back kind of the same team. That's exactly what Virginia did. We'll see. Lightning doesn't usually strike twice, but every now and then, who knows? So there's my Virginia tie-in, Matt. And my final question is, I asked you earlier about what do you miss most about Virginia. What do you enjoy most? What's the coolest project that you're able to talk about that you're working on or have worked on since you've been over at Stats Bomb? So that was your history. Now's your current. What's the best thing, coolest thing that you've worked on or that you're working on that you're able to publicly talk about?
Yeah, that's a great question. I really love the ability that we are doing to build a tool that is useful for coaches. There's a lot of data out there that's just kind of dumped in the laps of coaches and other companies just say, hey, good luck. You know, you've bought data. You know, you can now say you're a data-driven team. But at Stats Bomb, our CEO worked as a director of analytics for a soccer team, for a couple of soccer teams. Our director of North American sports, Seth Partnow, was a director of analytics for the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, I worked for a team. And so our whole mindset and focus is on building actual usable tools that coaches will be able to implement into their workflows and, you know, give them usable information to build and create better game plans. And so using our experiences working with teams, you know, my experience working for football and knowing many coaches in the business has helped us to develop this product. And, you know, we have tracking data that, you know, is kind of at the forefront of what's happening in the NFL right now. And so to be kind of on the forefront of the data revolution in football is really neat. We've released a lot of free data recently. So we have a Tom Brady data biography where we're going to be releasing all of Tom Brady's career data, both event data, play-by-play data, as well as our like frame-by-frame tracking data. And so it'll be out there for free for anybody to do projects with, learn what it is to use that data and to, you know, get their hands on something that can hopefully help them, you know, get experiences and, you know, build a career in data. So we're doing a lot of really cool things and, you know, have a bunch of really great products as well.
Massive credit and props to Stats Bomb for putting that data out there for free. That is not a common thing and certainly something that's appreciated by the data community and aspiring data scientists and just people that are interested, Matt, as you said, in learning more about what is it like to have a career in data. So very, very cool. It's awesome that you're a part of that team. You mentioned some really high profile folks there on that team with you. So I'm sure every single day it is exciting and fun and you're all learning a lot. So, guys, I could do this all night talking about stats, talking about Matt's history, you know, at Virginia, now Stats Bomb. We have to talk about some college football, though. It's week 12. We're running out of opportunities to do it. So let's get into that here in a second. King, Matt jokingly answered my question earlier. What's the thing you miss most about Virginia? He said, oh, the free gear for sure. And we all had a good laugh. But that's a real thing, right? Like, gear is awesome. Everyone wants it for free. We might not be able to get it to you for free yet. But for now, King, we can help folks out. Where can they go to get their favorite college football gear?
There is nothing better than rocking your college football team's gear. Matt said it, you said it, Kelly. And as we discussed on the show, we really are running out of weeks. There's not a lot of time left in the 2023 season. So as we have run the promotion all year long, everybody needs to go check out Home Field Apparel, premium vintage quality college apparel. As I mentioned, they've got some great new lines dropping recently with some new snapbacks, bomber jackets, some great retro gear. 15% off the first-time buyers using code Variety Sports. Go check out Home Field. Be sure to take advantage of the promotion before it's too late.
I love it, King. Get yourself some Home Field Apparel gear. Get yourself ready for these final few weeks. Get yourself a Christmas present for someone in or around your circle. Friends, family, everyone enjoys that. All right, guys.
And don't forget, 12. Kelly, our secondary sponsor. Don't be afraid, everybody. Go check out kforwardratings.com. Go check out Kelly's gear as well. They have become a primary sponsor as well, so I want to make sure that they get their proper shout-out.
I appreciate it. I honestly had, I really wasn't trying to be humble or modest. I just actually forgot. So yes, please go over to kfordratings.com, the homepage there. It's got some K-Ford Ratings merchandise. It's been fun, you know, seeing these orders roll in from all parts of the country. And it's just, my wife's got the custom apparel business. Those of you that know me know that. It's awesome. She does a great job. This is just another ad now, another section, another one of her lines that she's offering. So it's been fun to see that attract some interest and attention. And certainly, King, I will try to remember that one along with home field moving forward. Yeah. All right, guys, it's time to get into the games now. As we do every single week, we let our guest pick a game to add to the slate. Kinger adds a game, I add a game, and then we let the fans add a game. Let's start with Matt's game here. He picked Utah at Arizona. So, Matt, this is the game you wanted to dive deep into. Let's hear it, man. What do you make of this game?
All right, I have to start with, I feel like I'm going to lose my BYU fan card by picking the University of Utah as the game of the
Grandpa's
week.
Grandpa's not happy, Matt. I'm just saying, Grandpa's not happy.
Rolling in his grave. No, but this is a super intriguing matchup for me. You know, the University of Arizona has been wild to watch from where they started to what's happening recently, and it's going to be a great game. You know, the things that I'm looking at are, you know, Utah has always been known for getting a lot of pressure up front. They're stout with the D line. They do a lot defensively. They're in the top 10 in pressure percentage this season. And Arizona is a top 5 pressure percentage allowed team. And so seeing that matchup of Utah, seeing if they can get pressure on Arizona, you know, Arizona, a couple of things going on there, throw a lot of short passes, get the ball out quick. If Utah can get them behind the chains, get a lead, force Arizona to pass, force them to actually protect the quarterback, you know, not sure what's going to happen there. But I'm excited to see that matchup of Arizona protecting the quarterback versus Utah's pass rush. You know, it's going to be an exciting matchup. You know, I think at one point, man, I can't think of his first name now, but Luther Ellis's son, Ellis, led the nation in pressures. And I still think he's at the top of the list this late in the season. And so, yeah, excited to watch that and see what happens there. You know, Utah is top 5 in EPA per play in the passing game against. Again, their defense has been really stout. It's a trademark of Kyle Whittingham team. This is like the most Kyle Whittingham of all Kyle Whittingham teams. Really good defensively. Running the ball at a super high clip, and you know, just trying to play smash mouth football, and they're really good at it. You know, I at least can say that Kyle Whittingham played for my grandpa. You know, kind of was trained initially there, so you know, some good feelings towards Kyle, and hoping things go well for them this weekend.
We mentioned Grandpa and we talked about BYU here, but we're just going to come out and say it because I don't know if it's been said yet, Matt. So Matt's grandpa is Lavelle Edwards, Hall of Fame coach here, national champion, right? Like, we're not talking about, oh yeah, he coached a couple games. Like, no, Matt comes from football royalty. But I tell you what, Matt, something Grandpa can't say, he wasn't undefeated as a coach in college football. So Matt's got that on him.
He is not. I do feel like a little bit of an imposter with the name, the Coach Edwards on X, but you know, I think he would let us.
He absolutely would. I have no doubt. I think we were looking for Jonah Ellis, I believe, is Luther's son there. Kinger, let's come to you next. Utah at Arizona. What do you think here?
Yeah, very intriguing matchup here. Both these teams coming off opposite results and some hard-fought games last weekend. Arizona got it done on the road, kicked a field goal late to beat Colorado. And Utah was fighting for a while, but they did get shut out offensively in the second half last weekend, that loss to Washington. And the Utah defense had a tough challenge last week versus an elite offense. They got beat up a little bit, as we expected, versus the Huskies. Washington ended with over 450 yards of total offense. And they're going to have to bounce back this bounce back this week with another very solid offense in the Arizona Wildcats. And Arizona, this is a team that might be a little bit surprising to some folks here sitting at 7-3 this year. But I think the discovery of Noah Fifita was an absolute season changer for them because this dude's a player. This kid's a player. Jaden DeLoro was supposed to be the guy down there. He gets hurt. Fifita takes over as the full-time starter in week 4, and he's been very good for the Wildcats. He's small, not a big guy physically, but he doesn't matter, doesn't show for it. He's mobile, he's athletic, he can really sling the football, and they have a couple of big athletic wide receiver targets that can make plays. The Arizona offense has shown a lot of promise this year, and I do think that they're going to be able to find ways to move the ball versus this Utah defense. I do think I like, in the matchup-wise, I think I like Utah in the run game, in their ability to stop Arizona. The Wildcats do have a good back in Jonah Coleman, but this still is the Utah defense. It's only allowing 3.14 yards per carry this year. They held Washington to under 4 yards per carry last week with that good offensive line. This is a matchup that I do like Utah to cause some problems for, because this is a very physical defensive front, as Matt said. Now, that being said, I talked about Utah secondary last week. This is still a very good unit. As expected, they let Michael Penix tear them up a little bit last week. But I do think Arizona is talented enough with their skill positions to challenge them this week. This is an area that I do see Arizona having some success in this game. And I give the praises to the Arizona offense. But this defense is really what's taken the jump this year. This is a massively improved unit. Bottom tier college football defense in 2022, 125th in total defense, sub 100 in every major category. They have jumped all the way up to number 36 and boast a top 20 rushing defense that's only allowing 3.6 yards per carry. I mentioned last week how much Utah has really struggled when they can't run the ball. I don't think they get shut out this week, but I do think that this Arizona defense is good enough to cause some issues for the Utes. So Bryson Barnes is going to have to play better. I look at the quarterback play as the X factor in this one. Arizona is definitely the more dynamic offense, but Utah does have the ability to impose their will in the line of scrimmage in the trenches and make things difficult. So I'll save my pick for the pick'em, but this is a bet in this game that I do actually like, and I like the over a lot in this one. It's over under sitting at 45. I think both teams are going to score in this one. So that's a bet that I've already placed from the start this week.
Gosh, I really hate going last on these games, because you guys have just said like so many good things, and I don't want to harp on the points, but man, you guys hit on a ton of the salient ones there. I'm really glad that Matt added this game to our feature breakdown, because I like both of these teams. Arizona, I'll start there. Guys, if you would have told Arizona fans, or if you would have told anybody that, hey, with 2 weeks to go in the regular season, Arizona's still going to have a shot to make the Pac-12 championship game in 2023, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have laughed at you. I'm looking at my preseason realistic expectations. I projected 5.2 wins on average. 5-7 was the most likely record, 67% chance to win 5+ games, only a 40% chance to go bowling. Well, this team's doing more than that this year. This is a team that, if I look at my power ratings from preseason to current, they are number 8 in terms of teams that have been upgraded the most during that time. Arizona's been upgraded 8.3 points since the preseason. It's just absolutely remarkable. And Kinger, you touched on this. It's the defensive turnaround coming into the year. Because again, when you're projecting forward with power ratings in the preseason, you're relying heavily on data from previous years. I mean, obviously, you don't have anything yet from this year. So how did this team look in recent years? How did they recruit on that side of the ball? How did they bring in talent through the transfer portal? I had them projected as the number 119 unit on the defensive side. They are all the way up now to a season best number 54. It's just remarkable. This team's ranked by the CFP selection committee. They're ranked in my most deserving. They're number 31 in my power ratings. Just a great year for Arizona. They're riding a 4-game winning streak into this one. And then for Utah, I mean, Matt, you said it, Kyle Whittingham. I mean, what an underrated coach. I'm not sure, and he's getting some love. And, you know, they've won the Pac-12 each of the past couple of years. And so he's getting attention. I'm not sure he's getting enough still. I mean, even with all the accolades that they've garnered here in the most recent years, you know, going to the Rose Bowl, I don't think that people appreciate what he's done there and what he's built over such a long period of time. I mean, he's been there since, I think, 2005, right? When Urban went to Florida, Kyle Whittingham became the head coach, and he's been there ever since. It's just remarkable what this team has done this year in the absence of Cam Rising. Listen, the defense, in historically, at least in recent years, has been really, really good for Utah. But coming into the year with Cam Rising at quarterback, presumably, I actually thought it'd be the offense that would be the better of the two units. The defense was still good, a top 25 unit, but I had the offense top 15. Well, the offense hasn't played up to that level, of course, without Cam Rising, but the defense has just been phenomenal once again. They're number 14 for me in my unit rankings. The offense is still top 50. So this Utah team, they've had a really good year, especially if you consider the fact that Cam Rising hasn't played at all. If you would have told Utah fans, hey, you're going to be 7-3 and Cam Rising didn't play a down, I think they probably would have taken that. So a good year for Utah, a great year for Arizona. I guess I'll save my pick for it as well to the pick'em. I will say that Utah has the advantage on both sides of the ball in this one, but they're on the road, and we've seen Tucson can be a tricky place for teams to play this year. So a really, really fun game, one that I'm excited about, and honestly, one that I'm going to miss calling a Pac-12 game. These two teams, of course, will remain conference foes next year in the Big 12, but something about Arizona and Utah in the Big 12 just doesn't quite feel right. I know Utah hasn't been in the Pac-12 all that long, but it's the new reality starting in 2024, and we will certainly look forward to that when we get there. All right, King, coming to you. We're not going far. We're staying out in the Pac-12, actually. We're going to get a little bit closer to Matt, where he's at. We're going to go Washington at Oregon State, King. This is a game you asked for, and it's for good reason. Let's hear it.
Yeah, Beavers are favorites at home this week. Maybe a little bit of a shocker. Line's currently sitting at Oregon State minus two, over under 64. And we know that this Beaver team is legit. And we know that Corvallis is not going to be an easy environment for the Huskies to go on the road this week. And Washington's coming off a tough stretch here in their schedule, playing USC and Utah back-to-back. They were able to escape both those games with wins. And they're going to be in for another grind this week. Oregon State has only lost one time at home the last two seasons. And that was back in 2022 versus USC. And the Beavers just play good, sound football. They win in the trenches. They got a solid O-line. They've gotten a lot more out of the quarterback this position this year with DJ Uiagalelei. And they have an all-conference running back contender in Damian Martinez. So they've got the players that should set up well versus a Washington defense that we've repeatedly discussed their troubles on now on this show. They were great in the second half last week, but this is set up for this is set up for success for the Oregon State Beavers this week. Beavers are third in the conference, currently averaging almost 5.4 yards per carry. This is a Washington front seven that's really struggled at times this year versus physical offensive line, and the Beavers definitely fit that category. I think we're going to see Oregon State have some success in the passing game as well. Washington has let up some yards this year through the air, and we've seen Oregon State not be afraid to take their shots. Taking care of the football has been big for them. DJ only 4 interceptions this year compared to 20 touchdowns. I like what I'm seeing here. They should be able to keep up and score with the Huskies. And keep up is what they're going to have to do because Oregon State has been fortunate with their schedule this year. They haven't really played any elite quarterbacks thus far this year. You're looking at their schedule. The honors to that currently would probably go to Noah Fafita of Arizona or Shedeur Sanders from Colorado. Those guys are probably the best two they've played thus far, and both fared pretty well against this Beavers defense, and I see no reason to believe that the Huskies are going to get stalled this week. But pressure here is something that I'm going to be looking at in this game. For Oregon State, this is a very good team at getting pressures. Washington has one of the best offensive lines. They're one of the nation's leaders in the least sacks allowed, but Oregon State does get after the QB. They are tied for the lead in the Pac-12 with 34 sacks, led by Andrew Chatfield Jr. He's leading with a team high 9. That's how you have to attempt to beat Penix, is to get pressure on him, make him uncomfortable. Oregon State's also leading the conference with 12 interceptions. That secondary has been very good at taking the ball away. So getting pressure on him, hoping he forces a couple decisions, that's going to be the plan for the Beavers this week. It's a tough game to look at and evaluate. I'm not going to lay the points with Oregon State. The over here in this one is also intriguing, like the last game we talked about. But I think Washington is going to find a way to get it done. But I don't know if I'd be feel comfortable betting them at this point.
Yeah, King, my numbers would agree with you. The best offenses that Oregon State has faced so far this year, Arizona and Colorado. And my goodness, man, does it ramp up the close of the year. You've got Washington this week, and next week you go on the road to Oregon for the Civil War. Holy cow. You want to talk about testing the defense, play Washington and Oregon in back-to-back weeks. But yeah, for me, guys, I'm very excited about this game. It's got a watchability score of 9.3. It's the number two game of the week for me by that metric. It's a top 25 game of the entire regular season by this metric. When a top five CFP ranked team is an underdog, you know it's going to be a good game. I'm excited for this one. I do believe Washington should be on high alert, but I'm maybe not quite as confident in the Beavers as Vegas. I'll save my pick for the... No, I won't. We're not picking this game in the pick'em as I look at the scorecard, so I'll say it now. I make this Washington minus two on the road in Corvallis. It's a 56% win expectancy. Washington's having an outstanding season, obviously. They're my number six overachiever to date. I've had them in the top four of my most deserving rankings for five consecutive weeks now. I think the committee is... slightly underranking them at number five where the committee's had them. I do think they're a top four team with a top four resume. But from a power rating standpoint, my model still isn't sold. Their best power rating rank of the season is number eight, and I currently have Washington power rated number 13. The Huskies are great on offense, as I touched on earlier. They have been all year. They started number seven in August. They rose to number one, actually, for 1 week in October. They're now settling in at that number four spot. They've kind of been there for the past month. But the biggest question all year has been and continues to be, just how good is the Washington defense? This unit started the year number 50 in my preseason projections. They quickly moved into the top 25 after a great start to the year. But after three straight weeks of regression, this unit is now ranked number 43, which is only the fifth best in the Pac-12 right now by my numbers. This will be a huge test for this Husky D, though, against the number 11 Oregon State offense, King, that you touched on. In August, I pegged two teams as sleepers in the Pac-12, and it wasn't just me. Others did it too, but mainly it was due to the relatively easy schedules that these teams would face. One was Oregon State. The other was UCLA. UCLA's kind of lost their way here recently, but the model was pretty dialed in on Oregon State from the beginning. Beavers started the year number 24 in the power ratings. They've been between that and their current power rating ranking of number 18 all year. This defense has been exactly what I expected. They started the year number 26. They're currently number 27, but it is the offense, King, like you mentioned, and that I mentioned a bit ago. They've been a really pleasant surprise. At number 11, this is the best Oregon State's offense has been all year. It's the best Oregon State offense we've seen in quite some time in Corvallis. But the secret's out. I mean, the Beavers are favorite at home in this one. I think I'd like their chances more, honestly, to win it if they were an underdog, just like the psychological warfare that goes on there with Washington saying, wow, now we have a chip on our shoulder because we're the underdogs. I wish for Oregon State's sake that they wouldn't be a favorite in this game. Washington would still be an overwhelming favorite to make the Pac-12 championship game, even with a loss here. But this team's already on the outside of the committee's top four. So Husky fans won't feel great about their chances to make the CFP if they drop this one in Corvallis, which, according to Vegas and my own numbers, that's a strong possibility. Bottom line, I've got Washington minus two. It's a 56% chance that they book their spot in Las Vegas this week and roll into the final Apple Cup, at least for now, undefeated. Matt, what do you think about this game that's happening pretty close to your backyard?
It is pretty close, yeah. I think that the thing that's been impressive for me is Washington's pass game. I mean, it gets a lot of attention. Michael Penix is, you know, front runner for the Heisman. And the thing that is amazing that might happen this year is he led the nation in yards per game passing last year and is on pace to lead the nation again this year. So first time since Graham Harrell mid-2000s. Like, I mean, this is something that hasn't been done in 15, 16 years. He's got incredible receivers. Jalen Polk leads the nation in one of our metrics that we built at StatsBomb, catch rate over expected. And he's got great receivers making incredible catches. And it's just, can Oregon State do enough to derail the passing game? And then will, you know, Washington be able to, you know, step it up in the run game if they need to? I mean, Dylan Johnson's great running back, has had some great games as well. So it's not like Washington's one dimensional. You know, they can do a little bit of both things. But, you know, Washington, to me, is the better team. You know, they, after their win at Oregon, or against Oregon, it was at home, they haven't looked quite as good. But I do expect them to be able to turn it around this weekend, get this game, not overlooking Oregon State as they prepare for, yeah, as you mentioned, the big game, Thanksgiving weekend.
Both of these teams with big games against big rivals next week, neither one can afford to look ahead with what's still at stake in front of them this week. Guys, this next game is the one that I added to the card. And I feel like some people have turned their attention away from this one, honestly. I feel like it's lost a little bit of the national hub. I know King's happy about that. He thought he was going to get away with a week of no SEC games. Sorry, Kinger. We're going to talk about Georgia at Tennessee. You can always count on me for an SEC game pick here. Georgia's already clinched the East. So that may be why people have turned away from this. They are now number one, though, in the committee's rankings. Maybe that revitalizes some of that buzz. You know Tennessee fans are going to be up for it. This has a watchability score of 9.6, making it the number one game of the week for me. Guys, it's actually the number 12 game of the entire regular season by this metric. I'm very interested in this one. I think it's going to be closer than Vegas projects. I think I'm seeing right now Vegas something about maybe Georgia minus 10, if I'm not mistaken. I've got Georgia minus 6.5. It's a 68% win expectancy for the Dogs. It's safe to say that this Georgia offense has hit its stride. The unit's currently ranked the season best number 5 nationally. It scored at least 30 points in 5 straight games. The defense has been great all season. They're ranked number 5 again this week. Put those two top 5 unit ranks together, and Georgia is back in the top 4 of my overall power ratings for the first time in over a month. Again, this team started the year number 1, but after, you know, kind of playing with their food a little bit earlier in the season, they dropped to as low as number 10 just a few weeks ago. As they seem to do every time or every year this time of year, the Dogs appear to have found their next gear, though. They're putting all of it together down the stretch. They're presenting the biggest test on both sides of the ball that Tennessee will face all season based on my current numbers. guys, for Tennessee, by this point, you know, we recognize that the 2023 Tennessee team isn't quite on the same level as 2022 Tennessee, which was a really good team. They were the best power rated Tennessee team that I've had in my data set since 1998. Tennessee fans, of course, remember that year very fondly, winning a national championship the first year of the BCS era. But the Vols are still a really good football team this year, and that comes despite the disastrous game last week in Columbia. It's one that they're going to want to forget. It's one that the power ratings have made note of, but still think this is a good Tennessee team. The offense has taken a step back, of course, but still ranks in the top 20 nationally. The defense has actually exceeded my preseason realistic expectations. They now rank in the top 25 in the country. Some of the intangibles here seem to be favoring Tennessee as well. In most cases, guys, there's, of course, exceptions to everything. In most cases, though, we see a bounce back from a team that just got blown out. That would be Tennessee last week at Missouri. And potentially a letdown spot for a team that just blew a team out. That would be Georgia at home last week against a top 10 CFP-ranked team, Ole Miss, at least at the time of the game. Not to mention, this is a revenge game for the Vols. The fans in Knoxville would like nothing more than to knock off this freshly minted number one Georgia team, just like Georgia did to Tennessee in Athens last year. Remember, I believe Tennessee was number one, first committee rankings of the year last year going into that game, and Georgia knocked them off. Ultimately, even though I think this game will be closer than Vegas does, my numbers do give the advantage to Georgia on both sides of the ball. And despite having to go into this hostile environment, I have Georgia minus 6.5. It's a 68% chance to win this game. And guys, my numbers, now that we know Alabama is the for sure opponent in the SEC championship game, 34% chance that Georgia goes 13-0 and would presumably be the number one seed in the CFP. Matt, what do you think of this game out of the SEC East?
You know, I keep waiting for Georgia to, you know, kind of not put out a good product, like they're Carson Beck and everything, and it hasn't happened yet. Maybe it'll happen this week, but I'm not so sure. Tennessee's defense has been the revelation for me this season. You know, they started the season against my Cavaliers of UVA and really did some damage with the defense, and so that caught my attention right from week one, but. It's been really impressive to see the defense play so well there. And really they've had to, watching Tennessee last season, one of the things that they did so well was their deep ball passing. 40% completion percentage on passes that were 15 yards or more downfield. You know, Jalin Hyatt just tearing up defenses all over the place. This year, they're less than 25% on those same deep passes. They just don't have the same targets, that they're throwing to. You know, Squirrel White's a great receiver on the underneath stuff and does some really good things. But that guy that's stretching the defense is something that Tennessee's missing. That's kind of the next thing that would take them to the next level offensively. As far as Georgia goes, you know, Ladd McConkey is just, the ability that he has to get open, run away from guys after he catches the ball. He's been incredible this season. Obviously they were, super excited to get tight end back this last week. Potentially best player in college football. When you're looking at, just what he's able to do for that offense. It's hard to bet against the undefeated, for 27 straight game win streak or whatever for Georgia. We'll be picking that game a little bit later, but it's some interesting things to look for. I do expect Georgia to be able to kind of suffocate Tennessee offensively a little bit and make it difficult for the Volunteers this week.
Kinger, what about you? Your favorite, the SEC.
Yeah, and Kelly, I did text you. It's cupcake week for the SEC. So I was thinking to myself, hey, we're finally going to get a break from this. No, but rightfully so, this is a game that deserves to be talked about. And Tennessee, I feel they're lucky to be getting this one at home. They're coming off an awful performance last week versus Missouri on the road. They might have been looking ahead to this one, but this is a team that did not look good last week, and Georgia just continues to play really solid football. So the Tennessee defense was something that we looked at as a strength early on in the season, but they've fallen off a little bit, and they've really struggled these last few weeks. They let up 530 total yards last week versus Missouri, 450 to their previous SEC opponent, Kentucky. Georgia has really found their stride offensively these last few weeks. You look at Carson Beck. Now he only trails Jalen Daniels by 100 passing yards on the season in the SEC race. He is one of two SEC passers with over 3,000 yards this year. He's done it with a variety of weapons, and he's just played really, really sound football. And considering the trend, you know, the Vols, they just let Devin Leary and Brady Cook really throw all over them. I'm not sure if I'm feeling too good about this matchup in the secondary versus that Georgia offense if you are a Tennessee Volunteers fan. So I don't think Georgia's going to have a ton of problems moving the ball in this one. And the fact that they've really started to find some positives in that run game as well is a really good sign for them. And so on the other side, Joe Milton, he was a guy we brought up a couple weeks ago. He just continues to be just very statistically average. There's no 300-yard passing games for Tennessee this year after four last year. Matt talked about the explosion that they had last year in that offense. It's just really lacking this year. And that's something that the Georgia defense has been really good at this year, is preventing the big plays. Georgia has only allowed 30 plays of 20-plus yards all season long. That's seven less than anyone else in the conference. But when you look at this from a matchup perspective, Tennessee has been the most explosive rushing team in the SEC. They're top six in the country at over 5.6 yards per carry. Georgia did a really good job last week against the run versus Ole Miss, but think we have a little bit stronger offensive line and rushing attack in the Vols this week. I don't hate that matchup for Tennessee. I think that's where they're going to find some success with this week. And then it really comes down to what can they get in the passing game? Can they get a deep shot or two down the field? So I like the matchup for the Georgia DBs in that one. But if Tennessee can get that run game going, that's going to mean less help on the outside. And with Milton's ability to scramble and extend plays, I do think there is going to be some opportunities for them, and we'll see if they're able to take advantage of them and score some points. So Tennessee is in a tough position right now. I think the defense will play better this week, but I don't think they're deep enough on that side of the ball to stop this Georgia offense and win this one. Kirby's going to have the dogs ready. Tennessee's going to need to score 30, in my opinion, to win in this one, and I'm not sure if they're going to be able to do that. The under is a little bit intriguing to me, a lot of over-under talk tonight, but I'm comfortable that Georgia's going to win this game on the road this week.
All right, guys, those are the three games that we wanted to put in the feature section. As we always do, we open it up to the fans, to the listeners. What's the game that they want us to talk about that we haven't already put on the slate? This week, it's Kansas State at Kansas. I can't believe it. It's great. We're talking about Kansas State, Kansas as the voluntary game that has been picked this week. It's great for college football. I absolutely love this. Matt, as our guest, we always let the guest start us off here on the Fans Pick of the Week. Let's hear it. What do you make of this game? Kansas State at Kansas, potentially some high stakes in this game that we haven't seen in some time.
Yeah, I mean, my big question for this game is who's playing quarterback for Kansas, right? Jason Bean goes down in the game last week, head injury. Coach said he's probably going to be playing this week. It's hard to know. And that's the big question mark for me. Two of probably the best coaches in the Big 12. I mean, the things that they've done at each of the programs, it has been incredible. And so I expect to see a really well-coached game of two teams that are going to, you know, play their style of football. The thing for Kansas State for me is they've been really good offensively. Growing up, it was always, Kansas State, you can expect to have a really good defense and, maybe offense and score a couple of points if they get, Darren Sproles or a Michael Bishop in town. But, the offense this year has really been pulling their weight and has done a lot for this team, putting up, 59 last week. We're not going to be talking about Baylor, but Dave Aranda has really lost his fastball on defense to, they're giving up 59 points, but I expect to see a pretty hard fought battle here, and I'm excited to share our picks a little later in the show.
Kinger, what do you make about this game?
Yeah, Kelly, you talk about the stakes, and I mean, quietly, Kansas State sitting here in not a bad position at all, and they definitely still got a shot at making the Big 12 championship game. I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong when you go here in a minute, but I believe the path for them is to go 2-0 and then have Kansas lose to Cincinnati next week in week 13. And I believe that will get them in regardless of the outcome of the other games. But this is a series that Kansas State has absolutely dominated. They have not lost to Kansas in football since 2008. And my initial thoughts on this game was I'd love to go take K-State -7.5 in this one. But that quarterback controversy or the quarterback question marks for the Jayhawks is definitely preventing me from doing this one. I do tend to lean Kansas State pretty heavily in this one. And the big thing here for me is I really just do like Kansas State's ability to win in the trenches this week. I like the matchup there. And when they have the ability to do that, this generally does mean good thing for the Wildcats. So I think Kansas State should be able to run the ball well in this one, which is where they found most of their success this year on the offensive side. They're averaging over 202 yards per game on the ground this year, which currently sits fourth in the conference. The Kansas defense has been repeatedly gashed this year on the ground. It's been a little bit better these last couple weeks, but they've already allowed over 300 yards to Texas this year, multiple 200-yard games against them. With how K-State offenses looked, the solid quarterback play they have with the dual threats, which have gotten Kansas a few times this year as well, I don't know that the KU has the bodies and the ability to stop them consistently in the run game. So Kansas has improved in the secondary this year. I think they got a decent unit back there. They've been pretty good at taking the ball away, which is something to watch. But overall, I do think we have a significant advantage to Kansas State on the offensive side of the ball. And we'll be interested to see how this high-powered Kansas offense hangs versus this very good Kansas State defense. I do think Jason Bean is solid enough. I think he gives them a chance to win in this one. He isn't Jaden Daniels, but he's done a pretty good job for them. That concussion question mark is still up in the air. But if he's playing, I do think Kansas has the ability to compete in this one. But Kansas likes to run the ball as well. They've been very good at it this year also. And Kansas State has the second-ranked rushing defense in the Big 12. They're 22nd nationally, allowing under 4 yards per carry. Can Kansas get the run game going this week? That's the question. I'm not so sure about that. They've hung in there okay versus Texas earlier this year, which is the top-rated run defense in the Big 12. But they were down early in that game, so they had to adjust the game plan. But they did struggle mightily versus Iowa State a few weeks ago, which is also very stout against the run. K-State's going to be another tough challenge for them. So ultimately, I like Kansas State a lot in this one. I think they are going to win this game. And based on that quarterback position, this could be a bet for me this week. This could be a play as well. But I like the Wildcats a lot in this one.
Yeah, King, I won't lie. The Big 12 tiebreakers that are in place for the conference standings that is a lot, and I'm trying to process them all. I'm trying to plug it all into the leverage graphics and had to make some approximations because it gets wonky fast with how bunched up it is and how they have new tiebreaker policies now that they don't play a true double round round robin in that conference. So, yes, for Kansas State, win, and then see what happens, as is the case for a couple other teams, including Kansas, which still has an outside shot at making it to Arlington. Granted, it's a very narrow path for the Jayhawks. But guys, this is a game that it's exciting for college football to have Kansas and Kansas State being relevant in mid and late November. Like, it's just fun. It's something we haven't seen, you know, historically or in recent years, especially. I'm excited about it. Future Big 12 should love it too. Shoot, even the current Big 12 has their eyes on this one. We just talked about it. Both of these teams are still involved in this, I'll call it like a glorious muddled mess of Big 12 standings. Like, it's so much fun and we don't know what to make of it. I've got, well, actually, we're going to pick this game in the pick'em, so I'm not going to say who I have winning this one. At 7-3, Kansas State has about the same record as my preseason realistic expectations projected through 10 games. But with all three losses coming by a single possession, this Wildcat team has greatly exceeded the model's expectation in terms of performance. Only Oregon has been upgraded more than the 9.5-point improvement experienced by Kansas State this season. Currently power rated a season best number 11. The offense is now up into the top 10. The defense is lurking just outside the top 20. This Wildcat team is very, very good. In fact, by my numbers, they're actually better than last year's Big 12 championship team, even if they don't have a chance to prove it in Arlington this year. The power ratings are very impressed by Kansas State. I don't expect Kansas to be intimidated by this, though. The Jayhawks are number 9 on my overachievers list. They have a top 20 offense in their own right. The biggest concern for me, as it's been all season, is this defense. That being said, as you guys have mentioned, the Jayhawk D is up now to a season best number 61 after starting the year sub 100. So a very, very good performance relative to expectation this year for the Kansas defense. I've said it before, I'll say it again. It's too early to actually build a statue here, but Lance Leipold is on his way to being immortalized outside of Memorial Stadium. Like, I'm not sure. You know, he does one more year like this, and I'll say go ahead and just do it. I know it's dangerous to build statues of coaches when they're still there, but my goodness, what he's done for Kansas is absolutely phenomenal these past couple years. So again, I'll get into what my pick is as we get to the pick'em competition, but guys, it's worth noting, Kansas State is on a 14-game winning streak in this series. Kansas has not won in this series since 2008. Kinger, we were in high school the last time Kansas beat Kansas State. It's been a minute. All right, guys, those are the four feature games. I'm very much looking forward to each of those. As we always do now, let's transition over to the ESPN Pick'em competition. We've got two games that were feature games that we're going to talk about here. Matt, how this works is we'll let you go first, then we'll go to King, or then we'll go to me. I will keep tally here on the scorecard. We'll get it posted on social media and all that later in the week. But basically, we're picking straight up winners. People talk about the spread. They talk about all this stuff. It's hard enough for us to pick the straight up winner. So we're just going, who's winning the game outright? And it's confidence point style. So we have 1 to 10. Use every number once. 10's your most confident. 1's your least confident. So let's hear it. We're going to get into the ACC. We've got Louisville, who is the favorite to join Florida State in the ACC championship game in Charlotte. They can wrap it up with a win here against Miami. They're going on the road, though. So Matt, who do you like here? Louisville at Miami.
This is actually my least confident pick of them all. Again, don't know who's playing quarterback for Miami. Probably Tyler Van Dyke. Louisville has just, I think that they've overachieved this season. I've been pretty shocked, to be frank, to see how well they're doing, that they could be playing in the ACC championship for the first year under a new coach. I do pick Louisville to win, but it is my least confident. So 1
absolutely
for Louisville.
Kinger, what do you got here?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a rare day in which Louisville football is completely overshadowing Louisville basketball when it comes to the sports for the Cardinals. But it's been really impressive what Jeff Brohm has done this year. I like this defense in this matchup versus Miami. It's also my least confident one, but I'm taking the Cardinals for 1 confidence point.
Matt, you talked about Louisville maybe overachieving this year. My numbers agree. They're number 12 on my overachievers list. But we did talk about, Kinger, you'll remember in the preseason, Louisville, by my numbers, had the second easiest schedule of any Power 5 team. Only Boston College had an easier schedule. And we talked about, you know, Louisville could be a sleeper team to make it to the ACC championship game, namely because of that schedule. I mean, they miss Clemson. They miss North Carolina. There was one other one that they missed as well, and I can't remember off the top of my head who it was. But they missed some of these teams that were power rated at the top. Florida State. It was Florida State. That's the other one they missed. They missed these teams in the regular season, and we're seeing it pay off. They're just, you know, a really wonky result at Pitt away from being undefeated. King, I don't know if we've had this. If we have, it's been a really long time. Guys, I also have this as my 1-point game. I don't remember a time where all three of us had a 1-pointer. So I got to break the tie. King, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take Miami with my 1 confidence point here. So
I'm Louisville, so you're opposite of me.
Oh, yeah. I misrecorded it. It's all right. Yeah. I'm not breaking the tie. I'm going out on a limb. I'm taking Miami. So give me Miami for 1 point. I'll go on the other side here. No one's going to gain or lose a ton in the standings on that one. This next one's a really good game in the American Athletic Conference. Guys, we've got 3 teams sitting at 6-0 in conference play in the American. One of them is SMU. There's only one other team that has a chance to make the title game in this conference, and that's their opponent in this game. It is Memphis. We've got SMU going on the road to Memphis, Matt. What do you think?
You know, I've been super impressed by Preston Stone this season. His older brother actually played at the University of Virginia for us, Lyndall Stone. So know their family a little bit. We'd recruited Preston. You know, he's a local Dallas kid, and he's been doing really well in that new offense. And so, you know, I expect SMU to keep up their offensive output of the past couple of weeks. You know their strength staff, have a couple of connections there. So SMU, and I'm going with a 6. On my confidence scale. So confidence
all right, points. Kinger, what about you?
I am going to also take SMU for 5 confidence points.
Man, we're pretty darn close again. Guys, I'm going to take SMU. I'm going to take them for 6 confidence points. So far, Matt and I both used 7. Kinger, you've used 6 total points. All right, we're going to the Sun Belt here. Man, talk about what could have been for a James Madison team if this was just 1 year later. I know they've got something going on with the NCAA trying to petition and become eligible here, but we've got App State hitting the road to take on a James Madison team that is still undefeated on the year. Matt, what do you think?
Hold on. I have to re-go through my games because I had picked a different game than this one, and I can't remember which game I have that is not on this list. So go Kinger.
No worries. Kinger, we'll come to you. And while we're doing that, I'm actually going to double check that I got this list right from the app.
All right. Well, I'm taking James Madison for 10.
King's going all in. James Madison for 10. All right. I'm going to join you, King, on James Madison. I'm going to take them for 8 confidence points in this game. Matt, we can circle back to this one, too.
No, I'm very confident in James Madison as well. They've been a great story. If anybody from the NCAA listens to this podcast, let them play a bowl game. Let them go to the championship. I'm going JMU, 10 points.
So I do have some friends over the NCAA, of course, you know, working in a conference office here in Indy. Yeah. Some of them are tracking on the K-Ford ratings. We hate your team, all that stuff. I don't know if they're weekly listeners, but anyone over at the NCAA, you've heard Matt, Matt's instruction there. Do what's right. All right. We've got a game here that we talked about in the feature game. It is Utah at Arizona, Matt. What do you think? It's a game that you wanted.
I think it's going to be a really close game. You know, the University of Utah plays incredibly well at home. They have one of the best home field advantages. When they go on the road, they're not quite the same team as when they play at home. They probably have one of the biggest home road splits in college football. Game is in Tucson, if I am correct, and I believe that you know, the spread's super close. I'm going to go with Utah, but it's a 2 for me. So expect a close game.
You got
game.
It. Grandpa's not too upset because it was only 2 points. Kinger, what about you?
Yeah, tough game to pick here. And my head tells me to take Utah on this one, but I've been such a fan of Jed Fish in Arizona this year. They're a good football team. They're at home. It's been tough to win in Tucson. So I'm going to take them for 3 confidence points.
All right, I'll have to break the tie here. I'm going to go with Matt on Utah, but King, I'll go with you on 3 confidence points. Give me 3 on the Utes. Kinger, here's one, a Big Ten West showdown. We've got Illinois hitting the road to face Iowa, an Iowa team that's certainly in the driver's seat for that spot in Indianapolis out of the West Division. Matt, what do you think here, Illinois at Iowa?
I have been really in love of watching Iowa's point total on the season. You know, I'm a little bit sad that AD kind of took the excitement away from us by letting him go at the end of the year and announcing that. But, you know, it's been very interesting. I will have a bet on this game to go at the end. But as I'm re-looking at this, come back to me for my point.
Absolutely. Kinger, what do you got?
I'll also be joining Matt on a bet on this game. Give me Iowa for 7 confidence points.
King, I'm going to join you on Iowa. I'm going to join you for 7 confidence points. It looks like right now this over-under is set at 30.5, which might as well be 70 for Iowa games here recently. Matt, you mentioned the AD, you know, making the move there or deciding the move need to be changed. That's Beth Getz. She is the interim AD. I know her from her time at Ball State, so certainly hoping she gets the full-time gig at Iowa. Matt, we can come back to you here if you... All right, what do we got?
I'm ready. I'm going Iowa and 8 confidence points.
All right, so we are now 5 games in, and Matt, we have only been off by more than 1 point in our confidence 1 time. Kinger, same with you. I mean, all of us. Jeez. All right, here we go. Let's keep it rolling. This is going to be a very close week, I have a feeling. We have got a ACC game and North Carolina taking on Clemson. North Carolina still with a chance to make the ACC championship game. They've got to win this one, and they need some help as well. Matt, what do you think?
You know, Clemson looked really good last week, you know, kind of coming back into being the Clemson that we're all used to. It's been a couple of good results for them in a row. I do pick Clemson. You know, UNC had to go to double overtime against a, you know, kind of beaten up Duke. And so I have Clemson as my 7 confidence points.
Kinger?
We are just going to keep this trend rolling of just being right next to one another. I'm also on Clemson this week for 6 confidence points. I like what Dabo's done here in the second half of the season with the Tigers as well.
I'll keep it easy and keep this going. Give me Clemson for 5 confidence points. So we're on Clemson for 7, 6, and 5, respectively. out to the Mountain West. Guys, it's all of a sudden, it's gotten really interesting in the Mountain West. It looked for a minute like Air Force was comfortably in position to kind of take care of business and make that conference championship game. Now, though, we've got Air Force hosting UNLV. The winner of this game is going to be in the pole position to not only be in, but host this championship game. Remember, the winner of this, the number one team in the standings at the end of the year, hosts the Mountain West championship game. Who do you like here, Matt? UNLV at Air Force.
You know, we had to coach against this offense in the past that UNLV runs, the go-go offense. Brendan Marion's doing an awesome job there, really kind of making UNLV this explosive offense. That Air Force has a weird offense on the other side as well with the triple option. So it's going to be exciting to see who does a better job defending against the unique offense. For me, I am going to show some love to UNLV. Air Force's really shocking result last week. And so maybe on a little bit of a downward trend for them, but I will go UNLV 5 confidence.
I mean, it's 2 weeks in a row, Air Force losing Hawaii and Army the week before that. Like, what's going on with Air Force? Kinger, what do you got?
Yeah, for that reason alone, I'm taking Air Force this week. I don't think there's any way that this team is going to put up a performance like they have the last two. I could be wrong on this. The trend, they could keep spiraling downhill, but I don't see it. I like Air Force at home this week.
How many points, King?
4 confidence points.
All right, so I need to break the tie. I'm going to go Air Force, and King, I'm going to join you. 4 confidence points for me. Here's another game that we talked about in the feature section. It was the fan pick of the week. We've got Kansas State at Kansas, just a huge game in this state. Matt, who do you like and how many points?
You know, I'm always wary of the rivalry games to be super confident in either side. And so this is one of my lower confidence picks. I do have Kansas State, just not sure who's going to be playing quarterback for Kansas. I have Kansas State 3 confidence points.
Kinger?
Yeah, it is a big game, and Kansas very well could get up for this one, but I'm going to take the Wildcats, continue the dominance in this. And like I said, this could be a bet as we approach the weekend, so give me the Wildcats for 8.
I'll join you guys on Kansas State. I'm going to be more confident than both of you. Give me Kansas State 4-9, but I'm very much looking forward to this game. Again, I really like what Lance Leipold's got going on in Lawrence, and I would not be surprised at all. I have a tendency to miss on my big high confidence points, 9-10 pointers. I wouldn't be surprised at all if Kansas pulls off this upset. I think I mistakenly earlier thought that this game was not in our pick'em competition. I gave away who my winner is, but I can give you my points here. It's another feature game. It is Washington State at Oregon State. Matt, who do you like and how many points?
Washington, I did say earlier, I think that their offensive attack in the pass game is going to show up. I have Washington with 4 confidence points.
Kinger?
Yeah, I'm taking Washington for 2 confidence points.
Yeah, King, this is like really bad, dude. I feel like we're just going to have a terrible week because I'm going to join you. I'll take Washington for 2 confidence points in this one. I don't remember the last time, King, that we were this aligned on.
We only got one game difference, right?
Correct. Only one game difference, and we've never been off by more than 2 points on any of these. So we will see how it goes. Our final game that we're talking about here, it's another big one in the Big 12. Texas, who is your favorite to make it to the conference championship game, they are going on the road to Ames to play Iowa State. Things have gotten weird in Ames in November before for highly ranked teams. Can Texas avoid a stumble here, Matt?
You know, I think they do. Texas, there's something a little bit different with their defense this season. They're stout up front. They do a good job on defense. And, you know, Quinn Ewers is back. He's playing well. I think that Texas is just too explosive offensively. Xavier Worthy, A.D. Mitchell, I mean, they will be missing the running back who got injured last week. But I do expect Texas to go in there and take care of business. They seem to have a different attitude this year, different kind of confidence going in week to week. So give me Texas 9 confidence points.
You got it, Kinger.
Only right that we ended with one more. I'm joining Matt. Give me Texas for 9 confidence points.
Guys, I'll take Texas, and I'm going to take them for 10. As I look back through this scorecard, all right, I took Miami. Kinger took Arizona. and Matt took UNLV. Other than that, we were all on the same team. Guys, other than Matt taking Kansas State for 3, King, or you had him for 8, I had him for 9. Other than that one game, no other game was off by more than 2 points from our highest to lowest confidence across the board, even in the games that we took other winners. I mean, wow. I've never seen a scorecard that looks like this. I guess I should expect nothing less as we've been breaking so many barriers, King, as you put it at the top of the show with Matt today. So, all right, our final thing that we always do is the best bets. You guys have both touched on, you know, a couple leans that you have, even in some of the same games, if I'm not mistaken. So, King, let's start with you. Where are you going this week for some best bets?
Finally got back on track last weekend. Nothing crazy, but we were positive 4-2. I've got 3 plays in this weekend thus far. The first one I already mentioned, I am on the over in that Utah-Arizona game and that Iowa-Illinois game. Illinois offense looked a little bit better these last few weeks. I think they're going to run into a buzzsaw this week at Iowa. Iowa's laying 3.5 at home. That line has moved a half point on me. I still took the half. I think Iowa's going to Iowa's going to win this one game by at least a touchdown this week. I think we're looking at maybe 6 to 10 points from the Illini. I know it's a big ask for Iowa to score points, but I like them this week in that spot in Senior Day in Kinnick. And then the final game, also last home game, I'm going to take West Virginia -6.5 at home versus Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a team that offensively, they've got a pretty good defense. Offensively, they're pretty good at running the ball. That's West Virginia's strength. I think they have the ability to slow down the Bearcats offensively. I like West Virginia's ability to run the ball against Cincinnati, although Cincinnati does have a decent defense. But at home, I like West Virginia in the trenches there. Under a touchdown favorite with the extra point, I'm taking the Mountaineers -6.5. Those are my 3.
Kinger, my numbers got West Virginia -8, and my numbers have Iowa -10. I mean, yeah, I'm on it on both sides on that one. Matt, what about you? Any best bets that you have for the listeners this week?
All right. So for multiple,
I hope you're not about to take Illinois on me, Matt.
I have not been putting these bets. I will definitely not be taking Illinois. Like I mentioned, watching the ineptitude of the Iowa offense, it has been awesome to watch their unders just get lower and lower and then still going under every week. I believe it's at 30.5 right now. I will take the under. I think that we could see another, like, you know, 14-7, 10-3 ball game. I mean, it's been really impressive to see. The only way I see this going over is if there's some sort of defensive touchdown, special teams touchdown that takes Iowa over the top. So I will go under that game. The Oregon game, I believe the over under is set at 53.5. Oregon versus Arizona State. I don't know that Arizona State will be scoring many points, but I could see Oregon going over this total all by themselves. They are explosive. I've been to a couple Oregon games this year, and Bo Nix has been just incredible at getting the ball to his playmakers. Bucky Irving is doing a great job. You know, either Oregon will just shut down Arizona State so completely that Oregon gets the ball a whole ton and scores and goes over that mark. Or, you know, maybe Arizona State does a couple of things to surprise them. And then my last one, just for kicks and giggles. So, NC State is playing Virginia Tech this week. I got a couple of UVA connections at NC State, offensive coordinator, O-line coach worked with me at UVA. Brennan Armstrong's there, back going to Blacksburg. NC State is a 2.5-point underdog, and I will pick them against the spread this week against Virginia Tech. Defensively, NC State has really been just shutting people down. Really, really tough, really hard-nosed on that side of the ball. And I do expect NC State to be able to do just enough to pull the upset probably, and if not, get a couple of points on that side. So those are 3 for me.
I absolutely love it. And my numbers are with you on that last one there. I've got a 52% win expectancy for NC State at Virginia Tech. Technically a pick 'em when rounded, you know, to the betting lines, but a 52% chance to win that game outright by my numbers. So yeah, the line's 2.5, maybe some money line for those that are interested in NC State. Well, Matt, this has been so much fun. I've really enjoyed the conversation. Before we get out of here, please take a minute, plug everything you want to plug. Where can everyone find you? Where can they find your work? Just anything that you want to plug, go for it right now, because this has been fantastic. And I have a feeling our listeners are going to want to keep up with you.
Awesome. Appreciate it. You know, first off, thanks for having me. It's been a great time on the podcast. I've been in and out with internet issues and had picked the wrong games, and so not the most prepared or cleanest guest you've ever had, but appreciate it. So on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it now, at the Coach Edwards, follow me there for, you know, random snark about things that I'm watching on college football, as well as numerous reposts of our Stats Bomb stuff. Follow the Stats Bomb _FB account. We've got a lot of really interesting things that get posted there, from data science articles to just, you know, random marketing articles as well. You know, in this new role, I've had to bust out the old keyboard fingers and write a couple of things on my own. So it's been fun to kind of explore the wider world as I write those. So, you know, just definitely, you know, feel free to reach out with any questions, or, you know, anybody wants to connect in any way, we'd love to catch up on there.
Well, guys, like he said, on Twitter, X, at the Coach Edwards, make sure you do check out StatsBomb at StatsBomb _FB. That is where you can find all sorts of cool things that Matt is working on. Matt, once again, thank you so much for joining us. This was an absolute blast. Very much looking forward to seeing how the scorecard plays out this week and who's going to be the winner. If we have one, we might get our first tie, King, that we've ever had with the guests this week. So we'll see how it plays out. We only have 2 weeks left in the regular season before, of course, conference championships, bowl season, the college football playoff. It will all be over before we know it. So please, please, please enjoy week 12 of the 2023 college football season. Until next time, this has been another episode of the We Hate Your Team podcast, a proud member of the VSN Collegiate Network.